Savvy regards to the staff of student teachers at NEMATA. Once again, this is the main professor with a new unit in the Terma and the Turton. Now I'm calling this unit, Do Archontic Spiders Track the Turton? It's rather a playful title. And when it came to mind, it reminded me of the title of a story by Philip K. Dick, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Which story became the basis of the film Blade Runner. So it's a lovely, cool, quiet evening in a little fairy tale country in Europe, nestled between Portugal and France. And I'm sitting here all by my lonesome, down in the den, in the depths of the bunker. I'm actually below the level of the earth, which is about chin level to the room where I operate. You've seen photographs of that room that came out in anticipation of the second year launch. Now, as I completed the first year, as we together completed the first year of NEMATA, I found myself turning back spontaneously to my YouTube channel, Mandela Effect Decoded. One of the factors that brought my attention to it was the activity I had undertaken to establish another channel, and you see that channel's up and running now. John Lamb Lash YouTube channel, which is dedicated to specific themes and starting out with the playlist, what shall eventually be the playlist, Owning Humanity. And I'm quite satisfied so far, although I'm just getting started, but I am quite satisfied with the opportunity that I have to speak in a certain way through that channel. And we'll see what holds up, because as you can see, and it will come as no surprise to you, I'm putting out content to bait the opposition. I'm putting out content to bait some particular parties and agencies who tend to keep a very close watch on the internet and on YouTube in particular. And we'll see what happens. But as I was saying, it came to my mind, my attention was directed by whatever it is that directs my attention. And on any given day, there are at least 16 or 17 possibilities of what could be directing my attention, my first attention. I found it turning to the Mandela Effect Decoded channel, and I thought, well, I'm going to close the channel. And in doing so, I'm going to make a summary statement, you know, how I decoded the Mandela Effect, simple enough. So all of that material is now in private setting and will eventually reappear in Mythophrenia. It's going to take some considerable work to restructure it and dose it out and edit it. It's quite a big project, and for that project I do need someone who can edit the audio files according to my instructions. Anyway, what I want to talk to you about now is what happened the moment that I posted that talk, the last talk on Mandela Effect Decoded. Now, if you look in the symposium, you'll see that I note that a Mandela effect appeared on the day that I resolved to make that talk and close the channel. Not after the talk was up and it appeared on the internet, but on the day that I conceived the intention, you could say. I conceived the intention to do that. Now remember that the purpose of the Mandela Effect Decoded Channel was to show the world that the Aeonic Mother has agency and to show how she's using it. So it was quite a project in that respect. On the one hand, you have the GNE, the intention of the GNE over 3 years was to track reset, right? She comes out of reset in March of 2014. Some time goes by, 2015, 2016, and just about 24 months after she comes out of reset, the Aeonic Mother has agency. So, by the way, if you're wondering how I determined that, you can go to an ephemeris. You all know how to read an ephemeris now, right? And you can pull up June, May or June of 2016, and this is what you will see. I have it in front of me right now on the middle computer. The data source is the Swiss ephemeris, and I'm looking at the readout of planetary positions through, say, April and into May and June of 2016. Now, sometime around the spring of 2016, a question came to my mind. Does that ever happen to you? Does it ever just happen without you willing it to do so necessarily, that a question comes to your mind? You might be mulling over something for a while, reflecting on something, without any particular emphasis and without a question. And then lo and behold, well, what happens? All of a sudden, a question comes to your mind. Well, where does the question come from? Do you know, it's obvious that in order to form a question, you have to undergo a certain exercise of thought. If you and I are sitting on the beach somewhere, and I say to you, ask a question about the ocean, well, you have to stop and think for a moment, and then you consciously and deliberately you construct the question. How much salt is there in the ocean? What is the percentage, average percentage of salt in the ocean? And you could think of many questions that you could construct in that manner. But what if you and I are sitting at the beach with our toes in the water, and a question comes to you about the ocean? Where does the question come from? How come you suddenly have a question in your mind? Reflect on that. And remember that the devatas of the Shakti cluster are your handlers, and they prompt and they cue you. So anyway, in the spring of 2016, a question came into my mind, which was, how can I determine when the Aeon Sophia gains tread based on her reset. That wasn't the exact language of the question, and I can't recall the exact language because, in fact, I didn't construct it deliberately myself. It was the language of it was more simple than that. How can I determine the moment when? Well, the moment that was contained in that question, later I defined as the moment when she gains agency. So the concept of the Ionic Mother gaining agency, or the event of her gaining agency, was encroaching upon my mind. Can you see that? And so I went and looked at the celestial code, because I knew exactly where to look. I knew how to answer that question by finding the answer in the celestial code. And I knew that the answer would be at the moment when Jupiter converged with the North Lunar Node. So in May of 2016, Jupiter was in about 13, it was stationary, direct, in 14 degrees of Virgo. And on that day, which was the 10th of May, the lunar node was in 19 degrees of Virgo. So they were like 5 degrees apart, and they were very close. Now, if you go and scan the columns of the ephemeris, one finger tracking Jupiter and one finger tracking the North Lunar Node, you'll find that there was a subtle dance that occurred between the two, because Jupiter was retrograding, pulled out of its retrograde, and so this dance eventually resulted on a close convergence of the lunar node and Jupiter, which occurred in, I think it occurred in May, late May. It didn't occur in late May. It's interesting to go and see when it occurred, because the event, the convergence I'm describing, was like a wavering signal, you see. It was like, wow, when are they going to sink in? It's like hearing two tones play, and then gradually those tones kind of sink in, and then they pull away, and then finally they, for a particular instant, they sink in and harmonize. And this is what you observe if you go and look at the ephemeris data for that period. So when I saw that Jupiter and the node of the moon converged in about 16 degrees of Virgo around June of 2016, and I located that in the body of the lion, in the torso of the lion, I knew that was the moment when she would gain agency. So then the calendar rolls around very quickly to June of 2016. And it was most certainly in the early part of that month, before the 21st, that I began to look at what was this thing, the Mandela effect, that kept showing up in my subscriptions. And I instantly saw that it was a proof that she had gained agency. Right? Now you may wonder, hold on, because the Mandela effect had been operating for quite some time in the past. It didn't begin in May and June of 2016. No, it had already been operating. So how can I say that the Mandela effect was the proof that she gained agency in 2016 when it was operating before 2016, right? Good question. There's a short and a long answer to that, my friends, and I'll give you the short answer because I can then move on to the happy and delightful content of this talk. The short answer relies on a Gnostic nuance. You have to distinguish between the activity of the Aeon Sophia coming through reset of testing her powers, or the powers that she would acquire in reset, testing and anticipating the powers that she would acquire after reset and how she would operate. Because remember, reset is a totally novel experience for her as well, isn't it? And it's a momentous experience in the life of an Aeon. So like any living being, she was anticipating how she would implement her powers and apply the third attention, the three attentions at the cosmic level where she operates, the pleromic level, to the three attentions of the human animal. And so you could say she was probing around. And those Mandela effects that occurred before June of 2016 indicate that activity of a preliminary probing and testing. Also, bear in mind that she had a clear view of what she was intending to do with her agency. And one of the priorities, there's a lot she's doing with her agency that we can't even follow, but one of the priorities certainly for her regarding what she would do with her agency when she came into full possession of it was that she would initiate close and precise interactivity with her witnesses. So really, the date June of 2016 is not only the date when she achieved agency, but it's when she achieved the implementation of her agency for intimate interaction with not only her witnesses, but with the whole range of the human species. So she hacked into the internet as soon as she had agency. And that occurred in June. And it so happens that if you look at the graph, you look at the two graphs, you'll see that the largest peak that ever happened in that five-year period, which I believe is the strongest peak that ever occurred in the entire history of the Mandela Effect, happened from the end of July until the first week in August 2016. So, preceding that peak, however, there were three other peaks. So I discovered and began to discuss the Mandela Effect during the interval between moments one and two, as you see on the graph. I'm hoping that you can capture that and print it out so that you can read it and study it. But nevertheless, prior to my awareness of her having agency, and prior to me taking any interest in the Mandela Effect, there were three peak moments in search activity for the term, for the two words Mandela Effect. And additionally, after that, there were two peak moments, you can see them, lesser peaks, closely in sequence. Then there's a few others that I'm going to ignore. Then there's number five. And then between number five and six, there's another peak. You see that? It's kind of like a mesa. It's leveled off at the top. So when I made this first graph, I came up with these five moments, which you see there. And all of that speaks for itself. So I reported on that. I recorded the summary and closure talk for Mandela Effect Decoded. and simultaneously another Mandela effect appeared. Johnny B. Goode. And I commented on that in the symposia forum. So now my purpose in recording this talk this evening, late at night by myself, is simply to go over what else I found out today. I thought, well, what the hell? I think I'll go back and I'll look at those other days. Those other peak moments. 3 preceding July and August 2016. 2 closely in sequence following that moment, placed between 4 and 5. And finally, 1 moment between 5 and 6. And I have listed here the time sequence of those moments. And now I'm just going to run down for you, verbally and vocally, because it's easier to do it this way. I'm just going to offer a little running commentary on this timeline. So let's look at the 3 peaks that occurred before I discovered the Mandela effect at the moment that the Aeonic Mother gained agency. Well, first you have August 5th through 19th of 2015. Around a year earlier. Well, what on earth could I have been doing at that time? What on earth could have been happening in the Turner's life that had anything to do with anything really of importance? Some highlight, some breakthrough, what, some drama, some revelation in a telestic trance, some omen from out of the celestial writing? What was I doing at that time that interest peaked in the Mandela effect a year before I started to work with it? Well, that week contains the date of the 7th anniversary of the Terma of Gaia Awakening. And I was there in Gaosing, and I had 2 guests, 2 Shaktas, at that moment. I had just recorded in July the parable of the extras, the tragedy of the mother, and Out of Time. Do you remember those recordings? So I was just coming off doing those recordings, and I was kicking back, getting the feel of the 7th anniversary of the Terma on August 8th, 2015. And it so happens, it just so happens, that at that moment I found myself at a turning point in my life as a telestes. I found myself at an unparalleled and unique turning point in my adventure of Gaian shamanism at that exact moment. You see, in the preceding months of 2015, I had had another visitor come down to Under Lucia and see me on 3 occasions. And that particular individual wanted to be my apprentice. And she was quite young, but I deemed that she had some talent to be an apprentice, to be a psychonaut. So I undertook a series of 3 telestic sessions with her. And they were quite impressive sessions. And through those experiences, she briefly earned the name of the Star Apprentice, because she was, in fact, the Star Apprentice in my presence in those events. Outside of my presence and without my presence, she was not the Star Apprentice. And it turned out to be a role that she could not uphold and did not wish to uphold. Well, that led me to a little bit of a drama, because I had been counting on her to come and join me in August and to be with me while I undertook a certain ritual. Now, I've done this ritual 2 times before, and I can only do it at this time of the year because it requires the observation of the crescent moon, the morning crescent, the sunrise crescent, appearing in the eastern horizon beneath the constellation of Auriga, the charioteer, and beneath the star Charista, which I call the glittering kid. There's another name for that star, let me think. Capella. So each summer, when the moon of completion, the sunrise crescent, appears in the sky beneath Capella, I have the opportunity to do a ritual of a very special kind, and I can only do it at that time. And I had done this ritual 2 times before. And the ritual, the purpose of the ritual is to renegotiate my contract. You see, Turtons are not like ordinary people in several respects. But one particular respect that makes them really different is this. Due to the fact that they are Turtons, and I'm drawing this, by the way, from the lore and legend of Tibetan Buddhism, this is a fact known to those in the Nyingma sect of Tibetan Buddhism. Because the Turton is so important to the community and so important to the continuity and survival of wisdom teachings coming from the radiant sphere of the Dakinis, well, the Turton can negotiate the term of his life. He can negotiate his lifespan. And he can cut deals that will guarantee that he lives to a certain time. And he can go back and renegotiate and add time. Now, I had done that 2 times. And in the second negotiation, I took care to give great respect to an omen that I have received in a dream. In a dream, I saw the number 271, and I was given the message that it was connected with the date of my death that had been set according to the cosmic writing. So for years, I tried to interpret what this number meant. First, I thought, I'm never going to get on a plane with flight 271, you know. And I played around with it and juggled it around and tried to figure out, what is this 271 deal? And I thought, it can't be, let's see, it's 27-1, so the 27th of January. Well, it better not do anything on the 27th of January. Is that it? What is it? What is encoded in this number 271? And at a certain point, in fact, it was in that year, I realized with a laugh, well, it means exactly what it says. You can live to 71. You can't get any clearer than that, right? So it so happens that in December of 2016, I would turn 71. Thus, I knew that my contract was up. Doesn't mean that I would die on that date, but it means that my contract was up on that date. So if I wanted to renew my contract, I'd have to do it with this sunrise ritual. And I had talked about doing that with the young woman who came to study as my apprentice. But it turned out that she could not uphold the magic that came to her and through her and over her in my presence. And lacking the presence of the Nahual, she was unable to uphold her commitment to be my apprentice. So there I was on the terrace with 2 other Shaktas, devoted Shaktas, And I broke out a bottle of champagne on the day of the anniversary. And I said, look, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told anyone else. I'm going to explain it to you. And I'm going to make a choice as I explain it to you, because I need human witnesses, because this is a very big deal. So I explained everything to them that I've just explained to you. And I said, okay, here we are now. Now, I'm sure that, well, one of you has to go back to the States, but I'm sure the other of you would stay by me here and on this terrace and would undergo this ritual as my apprentice and witness. The ritual requires being on vigil for 4 hours before dawn for 4 successive days. And I said, I was contemplating this ritual this year because now I know what the omen number of 271 means. And I think it's a pretty serious matter. And I'm telling you about it. So we sat there drinking champagne, a beautiful summer day. And then I said, I've decided not to renegotiate my contract. Now those two human beings stand as witness to this event. And I'm very grateful that I had them there, because I couldn't have done it talking to myself. So what happened at the first peak of the three peaks preceding the moment I discovered the Mandela Effect was just that little incidental event in the life of the Turton. Right? What was the next peak of internet searches for the Mandela Effect? Well, it was a month later in September. So what happened in between the 13th and the 19th of September that same year? 2015. Well, exactly at that time, I was due to go to a conference in the UK, but I had been invited to speak about ayahuasca. And it was quite a big deal, this conference. It was given at an extremely lavish estate, Tyringham. And it was quite an event because Douglas McKenna was going to be there, and a number of other well-known shamans, people who investigate shamanism, and I was invited along. But due to certain circumstances and due to a certain intuitive feeling, or perhaps the guidance of my daemon, who only says, no, don't do that, never tells me exactly what to do, that's my personal daemon, I declined to go to that meeting. And in the series of events that happened at the moment that I would have been at that meeting, I also resolved to go on to Radio Silence. And that decision to go on Radio Silence for a year and not release any talks, I didn't know it would be a year, occurred exactly at the moment of that second peak. And that was a really big event, big decision, and it was a significant action for me to take. No one in the world except my colleagues knew that action, but interest in the Mandela Effect peaked at that moment. So then we come on to the following year, 2016, and the peak that occurred shortly before the massive peak that you see on the graph. And the exact date of that is June 5th to 11th, 2016. Well, I recall that on the solstice, June 21st, I invited a Shakta, Keridwin, to go up with me to Plaza Antonia in Gassin. And I sat with her there at a table, and that was the moment that I disclosed to her that I had found this phenomenon called the Mandela Effect. And that began our conversation, which went on intensely from that time on. So this last little peak that preceded the largest of all peak corresponds to the exact moment that I discovered the Mandela effect. Whereas during July, I was investigating it, gathering evidence, building up very quickly a picture of how I would handle it, how I would turn around and present some exposition to the world about what it was and how it worked, you say. But the actual moment of discovery is marked by that small anticipatory peak. Okay, now moving on to the two peaks that occurred closely in sequence in 2017. Let me remind you once again to take a look at the graph with the five or the six moments indicated in numbers. And note that moment four, which was January going into February of 2017, was when I inaugurated the Mandela Effect Decoded channel. So there you go. There was a peak of interest when I launched the channel. Was it due to me launching the channel? I don't think so. There's no evidence that it was, because the attention that I got to the channel was not operating in the same field as the other channels about the MED, and it did not get an equivalent level of attention, and never did. Nevertheless, when searches surged in February 2017, I launched the channel. I didn't know that at the time because I didn't look at the graph. So the next two moments are moments that follow that moment, but they fall into the following, into the year 2017. Okay? First one was April 23rd to 29, 2017, and then the next peak, closely in sequence, was about 3 weeks later, May 14th to 20th. Well, during both those moments, I was deep into the investigation. I was developing the tracking page. I was uploading the supporting research that I used to give depth and veracity to my investigation. And I was uploading talks quite frequently. So I just went to the channel and I pulled up all the videos, which are all in sequence, and I scanned down the list of videos. I swear I really did this. To see which ones I released on those particular times. Now, you know, there were 64 in total for the exposition of the investigation, the Gnostic investigation of the Mandela Effect. And then there's a few others thrown in here and there. And those uploads ranged over a wide range of topics, right? And all the topics were important in developing my case, of course. But some of them were more important than others. It was as if you imagined a lawyer, of all things, in a courtroom arguing his case for the defense of the accused. And there are certain moments in the case of the defense which are peak moments. You see this in every movie about trials. There are certain decisive turning points in the defense and in the prosecution. So there could be 6 hours of defense and 6 hours of prosecution, but there might be, in the course of that, just three or four moments of peak drama. And upon those moments, the outcome of the trial depends, right? Well, apply that analogy to my argument that the Aeonic Mother has agency, and my proof using the Mandela Effect. There was a key moment of drama. There was a key moment when certain talks and texts were uploaded. And in that first moment, April 23rd to 29th, 2017, I uploaded 3 talks on the superclusters of signals encoded into the ME. The topic of the uploads at that exact moment was the superclusters. And I elaborated at that point the first supercluster because I had to take them in sequence because they were all massive. So I introduced the idea that the Mandela effect composes itself or composed itself in superclusters of signals. That was certainly a moment of dramatic importance in the presentation of my case, wouldn't you say? That's one of the main things that I wanted to prove. That is the main thing I wanted to prove. Now we come down to just about 3 weeks later, May 14th to 20th, 2017. Well, what on earth was I doing then? Gee, I wonder. So I go to the dashboard of the channel, and I scroll down the chronological sequence of all the uploads, and what do I find in that exact time period? 3 talks on anomalies of the divine experiment. Now, not only do I consider those 3 talks to be yet another dramatic high point in my argument, in the exposition of my case, obviously, but I also consider those 3 talks to be premium Gnostic intel, among the best and most significant intel that I have ever given, equal to the high points of the GNA. And I would even go so far as to say that if the Aeonic Mother was observing what I was doing, the 3 talks on the anomalies of the divine experiment would have been, well, what do you say? What do you think? Don't you think they would have been of extremely keen interest to her? Because they describe the most intimate details of her situation. So there you go. Finally, there's one other point, and this one syndicated by a date after I had concluded the investigation, right? So you see in the timeline that it occurs between moments 5 and 6, which I've indicated on one version of the graph. And that corresponds to January 13th through 19th, 2019. Wow. Well, that's quite a long time. You know, after all, I wound up the Mandela Effect Decoded 64 sequence talk in October of 2017, didn't I? 2017. And I also said that in October, November, from that point on, the Mandela Effect in its first phase, in the form of mnemonic anomalies, would phase out, and it did. And the signature phase-out event was, of course, the Mandalay Bay shooting in Las Vegas in the beginning of October of 2017, right? Then after that, there was a shooting in Florida, and I showed how these events were encoded with the evidence that she is applying her agency for her witnesses to see, but in a different way than the Mandela effect had been operating in its initial phase. So that was the end of 2017. Bingo, you go into 2018, sliding sweetly into 2018, and come to January 2018, Something happened in January 2018. I did something in January 2018. Oh, yes, I did. And then a whole year, jump a whole year ahead, or maybe a year and a day. So it so happens that the peak in January of 2019 occurred exactly a year and a day after the Charlotte Working performed on January 18th, 2018. Now, how does the Charlotte Working have anything to do with the Mandela Effect? Well, you know how it played out, don't you? I don't have to explain. In fact, it was by proving that the Aeonic Mother has agency through the Gnostic investigation, it was by going through that experience that I set myself up for the command performance, as I called it, of calling upon her agency to perform a lethal spell and to conduct an act of Gaian tantric magic. So the performance, the occasion, the structure, everything concerning the Charlotte Working just came out of the Mandela Effect Gnostic investigation, the way that a butterfly emerges from a caterpillar. You see? Caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Mandela Effect Gnostic investigation turned into the Charlotte Working. And the last significant peak, not a large peak, but a little bit of a plateau. You see, it kind of has a top like a mesa. The last blip on Google search trends happened at that moment. So what do you make of all this? What is going on? I haven't made up anything here. As you well know, I'm not speculating, I'm not slighting. S-L-E-I-G-H-T-I-N-G. No, I'm not pretending that something is actually a certain way due to wishful thinking and wanting it to be that way. This is the way it actually played out. Now, the graph and the data that are behind the pattern that you see here in search trends is entirely archontic. It's entirely in the field of the archons and of the internet. But the interest, if this record is correct, if there's any reality to it, the peaks of human interest are not on the internet, are they? They're in the reality of the human world, of those human animals out there who are going to their computers and making these searches, and they're really doing that in real time, in real life. But how can it be that they were doing that at the exact moments that I was doing these other things and they didn't know anything about me at all? Figure it. There's something about it that, of course, is totally marvelous and magical and inexplicable, isn't there? And at the same time, well, you know, you could say that it's proof of interactivity. Now, I'm going to conclude this talk with a few words about interactivity. And I'm also going to ask a question, and this is a question that comes to me often. It comes to me without me formulating it. But on this occasion, I will formulate and construct it deliberately and pass it over to you. Okay? And this is a question about where to go with this interactivity and how to leverage it into something really, really serious that impacts where we intend to see it impact. Now, I want you to bear in mind, coming away from this talk, that you who are the witnesses to the Nahual of the Wisdom Goddess, witnesses to the actional power of her dreaming, to the actional and existential power of her dreaming. In order to uphold your role as witnesses, you need to continually consider the two modalities of interactivity. One of them is what I will call actional and existential. It is the interactivity of events. Look at this graph. Look at the close, intimate, and meaningful interactivity between the events in my life, the actions and decisions that I took, the actions that I performed, and the flow of human attention in the collective mind. That's real. That's empirical. The data shows it. Data shows the evidence of actual and existential interactivity. And I'm sure many of you can draw examples also from your life as well. Now, additional to that, there is another modality of interactivity that I would like you to keep continually in your mind, to return to it again and again, and to return to it as a subject of deepening reflection. And what is that? Well, it's material interactivity. Material. Example, the third nail. Example, the omens that many of you have experienced when you perform the Gayan Tantric vow. The examples of synchronicity or synchromysticism, as the trendy term goes, that you have experienced over and over again in planetary tantra. It comes with the package, doesn't it? It comes with the turf. These omens, these birds, the wind, the things that happen that are materially expressing and demonstrating to you that you are in interactivity with the dreaming power of the Aeonic Mother. Quite recently, right here in Galicia, at the bunker, there was an extraordinary materialization of interactivity. Once again, my attention was directed, well, through some DI and some other things that were happening, but my attention was directed to a subject that I had put away and put on the back burner and stored away for quite a long time, and I hadn't thought about it, nor had I brought it up to any of the very few allies and colleagues with whom I have the occasion to meet and to talk face to face. And I brought this up. And the word or omen, the particular symbolic image associated with this topic that came up is a flower, the blue gentian, which has a white core. So I brought up that subject, and within, I guess it was, I'd have to ask Caradwyn, 24 or 48 hours later, she was walking out in the fields and came across a blue gentian in the field, all by itself. None others growing around, and none others have we seen growing around here. And it was growing in the field. One blue gentian. That's materialization, proving that you are in intimate interactivity with the dreaming power of the Aeonic Mother. Aeonic Mother, your Divine Mother. I know that I don't have a monopoly on that phenomenon, do I? I know that I'm not the only one who has experienced the material modality of interactivity. And in fact, I'm concluding this talk with a photograph of another instance of material evidence, material proof. Again, there was a conversation. It's not just any conversation. I don't just have conversations. There is an intentionality working through these conversations. And so there was a conversation about the Dragonfly Sutra. And lo and behold, someone went to a beautiful sheltered glade with a waterfall and streams running under moss-covered trees in a hidden and forgotten corner of a fairyland lost between Portugal and France. And a vivid electric blue dragonfly landed on her finger, and there's the photograph that shows it. So now we come to the big question. Everything I've said in this talk begs the question. There is ample and continual evidence of interactivity. It comes in the modality of actional and existential expressions, and in the modality of material expressions. Materializations. And all of that begs a question, doesn't it? Are you wondering about what I'm wondering about? How? And with what intention can the interactivity that we know we now have be leveraged into a really momentous blow? Into a really momentous, intentional, interactive event. How can we do that? I don't know. I've never done this before. She's never done this before. But I feel confident in saying that 5 years now into reset, with all the groundwork we've done, and with the growing collaboration and the integrity of the resonance of all who are in PT, we may be coming to the point where we can really pull something off. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm talking about a massive, catastrophic event targeted in a certain way. So let's see how it develops. And on that note, I'll conclude this talk and leave you to contemplate the beautiful image of the dragonfly on the Shakta's finger.